Today's daf is Bavastra daf Kuf Ayin Gimel. Kuf Ayin Gimel. Only a few more days for Bavastra. We left off. We actually finished daf Kuf Ayin Beis yesterday, and we're at the top of daf Kuf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph. We had just confirmed, the Gemara had just stated that although sometimes we are choshesh l'nefila, we might be choshesh that someone would lose something, or although there's a machlokas whether we are choshesh l'nefila, and at least there's a possibility that we would be choshesh that someone might lose a shtar and someone else might pick it up and try to use that shtar, we are not choshesh for nefila in a situation where the person who's holding the shtar happens to have his name on the shtar. Meaning, if there are two people named Yosef ben Shimon in the same city, and one of them has a document that says that somebody owes Yosef ben Shimon money, we're not choshesh that the other Yosef ben Shimon must have dropped that shtar, and this Yosef ben Shimon found that shtar, and he's using the shtar that has his name on it, that he had found, that is not really his. Such a chashash we're not going to have. L'nefila, the way the Gemara expressed that is l'nefila d'chad lo cheshinan, l'nefila d'rabim cheshinan. We're choshish for l'nefila d'rabim, not l'nefila d'chad. We didn't get a chance to read the Rashbam yesterday. The Rashbam has two understandings of that phrase. Rashbam says, Ikra lashon kenu l'nefila d'rabim cheshinan. He says the lashon that we have in our Gemara is l'nefila d'rabim cheshinan, kolomar shematzu shum adam ba'olam. To assume that anybody might find some shtar, that's something we're concerned about. Aval l'shematzo yachid, Yosef ben Shimon lo cheshinon. But that dafka, this guy, this one guy, Yosef ben Shimon, is going to be the lucky winner to find the shtar that happens to have his name on it, that we're not going to be choshish for. But then he quotes Rabbeinu Chanan al Piresh, va'abaye l'nefila d'chad, va'ashkechei hai d'shmei kishmei, that we assume that if the guy who lost it was Yosef ben Shimon, and there's another guy with his name, the person who lost it, Mistama, would be screaming out, asking for it, looking for it. V'kimen shalot sa'ak, nisbar ki l'zeh shamatzahu. Meaning, we know who the two Yosef ben Shimons are. One of the Yosef ben Shimons is holding a shtar. And what, we're going to be concerned that it really belongs to the other Yosef ben Shimon? Well, have we heard the other Yosef ben Shimon screaming that he lost a shtar even? If he actually lost one, we probably would have heard him say something. We probably would have heard him be machriz, maybe to let people know that he lost a shtar, if they find any shtar that has his name on it, to return it. So it's a raya on the fact that he hasn't said anything. So that's a raya that the person who's holding the shtar is the right Yosef ben Shimon. He's the one that really is owed the shtar. Aval l'nefila d'rabim d'lo yadin mihu chayshinan. But you can't say that when there's no name on the shtar. Right, if it just says that somebody is owed money, that I am owed money, and it doesn't say a name on the shtar, so you can't say, well, we haven't heard the guy going around and screaming that he lost a shtar, because it could be any one of thousands of people that lost the shtar. Have we interviewed thousands of people and listened carefully to whether they've been complaining that they lost a shtar? That would be impossible. But if we know the name, and it could only be one other person, so then we would know whether that person has been complaining that he's lost a shtar recently. Okay, top of Kuf Ayin Gimel. But we have a brisa that seems to be against our Mishnah. The brisa says as follows: Kshem she'in motzin shtar chov ze al ze, kach ein motzin al acherin. Just like the two Yosef ben Shimons that live in the same city cannot take out a shtar chov against each other, claiming money against each other, right? Because one Yosef ben Shimon will say to the other, look, I have a shtar that says you owe me money. The other one says, let me see that. No, this shtar says you owe me money, right? Because it says Yosef ben Shimon owes Yosef ben Shimon money. They can't take out a shtar chov ze al ze. So too the Braisa adds, right? The first part is obvious. So too the Braisa adds, ein motzin al acherin. Nobody by the name of Yosef ben Shimon, if there are two Yosef ben Shimons in the city, can take out a shtar chov on anybody else in that city, because we're concerned that it might actually be a shtar chov against the other Yosef, that the other Yosef ben Shimon is owed the money, not this Yosef ben Shimon. So this price is against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah held that you can be motzia, they can be motzia l'cherim, that if they're holding a shtar chov, we just said, we're not choshesh l'nefila d'yachid. We're not choshesh if a Yosef ben Shimon has a shtar that says that someone owes Yosef ben Shimon money, that it was dropped by the other Yosef ben Shimon, and this Yosef ben Shimon picked it up. There's no such chashash, according to our Mishnah. But this this brisa says, no, that there ain't motzi na lacherim. But wait a second, what could they possibly be arguing about? We just confirmed that no one is choshesh l'nefila diachid. So if no one holds that we're going to be choshesh for nefila diachid, why would this brisa hold that there's a problem with Yosef and Shimon holding claiming money in a shtar against somebody else? No one is choshesh for nefila diachid. So answers the Gemara, but osios nikolas b'mesira k'miflugi. They're arguing about the concept of osios nikolas b'mesira, meaning they can't be arguing about whether we're choshesh for nefila diachid, which would have been the simplest way to explain it. That would have been the simplest way to explain the machlokas. If you're choshesh for nefila diachid, you'll say that Yosef and Shimon cannot take out a shtar against anybody else, and that's the brisa. If you're not choshesh for nefila diachid, you'd say that he can take out a shtar against somebody else, and that's the Mishnah. So it would be very simple, but we've just confirmed that no one is choshesh l'nefila diachid. So what could they be arguing about? So the Gemara is going to have two possibilities. First one is that osios nikolas b'mesira is the subject of the machlokas. That when I want to transfer a chov to you, is it good enough to give the shtar chov, or do I have to give a separate shtar that I'm being makne the actual chov to you? And the shtar that you have, that's the actual shtar chov, is just a shtar raya, but that's not going to actually make you acquire, it's not going to allow you to acquire the actual chov, the actual debt in the document. So that's the machlokas, whether osios nikolas b'mesira, just giving over the shtar chov, is good enough to transfer the actual debt, or it's not good enough. Tana didon savar osios nikolas b'mesira. The Tana of our Mishnah holds that osios are nikolas b'mesira, and therefore the fact that Yosef ben Shimon is holding a shtar is a raya that he's owed that money, because whenever that shtar was given to him, he acquired the chov inside that shtar. The Tan of Barasavar ain't osios nikolas b'mesira, and the Tan of the Brisa holds that osios, that shtaros, are not acquired through mesira alone, and therefore the Yosef ben Shimon that's holding a shtar that says that he's owed money, however he got that shtar, we don't know how he got that shtar, and if it was just handed to him, maybe that's not good enough. Well, wait a second, is it, if he lent money to somebody and that's how he got the shtar, so isn't that good enough? No one holds that when you lend money to somebody that they have to write you two shtaros, right? That because the chov is created minei ubei, that's just created automatically by the fact that you lend money to somebody with such an agreement, right? The shtar is just a raya. So what are we concerned about over here? So obviously what the Gemara is saying is that according to the Brisa, when someone named Yosef ben Shimon is holding a shtar that says that Yosef ben Shimon is owed money, and there's somebody else by the same name in that city, we have to take into account two possibilities. Possibility number one is he was actually the guy who lent the money, and that's why he's owed the money, in which case there would be no problem. Possibility number two is he's not the guy who lent the money. The other Yosef ben Shimon is the guy who lent the money. He didn't drop it or lose it. We're not choshesh for that, because then this guy, the chances of this guy finding it, you know, are very slim. So that's how we're choshesh. What are we choshesh for? Maybe the real Yosef ben Shimon who lent the money then gave this shtar to this Yosef ben Shimon. But we have no idea if he gave him another shtar to actually be makne the chov, or he just gave him the osios. So if you hold like the Tan of our Mishnah, so manafshuch, it's okay. The Yosef ben Shimon that's holding it is fine. If he's the one who actually lent the money, so then of course he's entitled. If he's not the one who lent the money, just by virtue of the fact that he's holding the shtar, it's because the other guy gave him the shtar, so that entitles him. If, however, you hold like the Tan of the Brisa, osios are not nikolas b'mesira, so you'd only be okay if he's the one that lent the money. But we don't know that he lent the money. Maybe it was the other Yosef ben Shimon that lent the money and just handed him this shtar. And that's a cause for concern, because that would not be sufficient to transfer the chov. So maybe that's the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Says the Gemara Viba Yisema, or we can suggest, Dukali alma osios nikolas b'mesira. Everyone holds that osios can be acquired through mesira. Now wait a second, if everyone holds osios nikolas b'mesira, so what's there to be concerned about? What's the explanation of the Brisa that a Yosef ben Shimon that says that he's owed money can, and has a shtar that says that he's owed money, cannot collect with it? So v'hacha b'tzarech lahavi raya k'mifilgi. Now they're arguing in a case, they're arguing about the halacha, that even if osios are nikolas b'mesira, when you have the shtar, do you need to bring a raya that it in fact belongs to you? Tana didan savar in sarf lavi raya. So the Tana of our Mishnah says, no, you don't need to bring a raya. You're holding the shtar, that's good enough. So if you're holding the shtar, so we know that that you are the owner of that debt. And there's no need to bring a further raya. Meaning the difference between let's just finish the Tana bras savar tzarich lavi raya, and the Tana of our Braisa holds that you do need to bring a raya. This is not the same machlokas as osios niknas b'mesira. Osios niknas b'mesira is about whether in fact the chov has transferred. Right? Do you? What does it take to transfer a chov? That's osios niknas b'mesira. Over here, this machlokas is not about what it takes to transfer a chov. It's about what it takes to prove that a chov has already been transferred. Right? Very big difference. This is about proving what happened. Osios niknas b'mesira is about making something happen. It's a fundamental difference. Right? So says Gemara de Itmar. Where do we have such a machlokas? Osios niknas b'mesira. Abaye amar tzarich lavi raya. V'rava amar einot tzarich lavi raya. Regarding osios niknas b'mesira, if you hold osios niknas b'mesira, Abaye says we do have to bring a, you do also have to bring a raya though that the chov was in fact transferred to you. And Rava says ein tzarich lavi raya. It's not necessary to bring a raya that the chov was transferred to you. If you look at the Rashbam, v'ibay seima osios niknas b'mesira. Below shtar mechiras acher, k'depaskin hilchsa perkamokras asvina, meaning we're working within the possibility that osios niknas b'mesira, that without any further form of hakna'a, without any other shtar to confirm the giving over of the loan, just giving the shtar itself would be good enough, right? K'rebi k'dam ravashi osios milin inhu mili b'mili lo niknu. Where you gave the shtar over, and therefore he now owns the loan. You need to prove that the guy in fact gave you the shtar. And why do you need to prove that? Why can't you just say, look, I have it? So isn't that enough proof that the guy gave me the shtar? No, because maybe the lo name of pikadon hu etzlo o shmito mimenu. How do I know you didn't steal it from the other guy? How do I know he didn't ask you to watch it for a couple of days? The fact that you're holding on to it does not show that he was makne the chov to you. Granted, all he needs to do to be makne the chov is give you the shtar, but we don't know that he gave you the shtar. And that's this machlokas, whether it's tzarich lavi raya or eino tzarich lavi raya. Does one need to prove that if you're holding on to the shtar, that the other person gave it to you? Or can you assume that from the fact that you're holding on to the shtar, that of course he gave it to you? So Abaye says you do need a raya, Rava says you don't need a raya. Amar Abaye mina aminala. So Abaye says, well, where do I know that that you do need a raya, that that it was given over to you? Detanya, because we have a braisa. Let's say you have a group of brothers who inherited their father, and one of the brothers has a shtar chov that he's claiming he's the only one who's owed the money on, not all the other brothers. Now, if it's in his name only, so then of course we would listen to him. But it's not, right? He has a shtar chov that's yotzi mitachas yado. Says Rashbam, o b'shem avihem, o b'shem milva acher, v'toin achai nosnuhu li, v'him omrim ata chatafto. That it's a shtar chov that either the father owed him money, or somebody else owed him money, owed money to the estate, and he's saying that the other brothers had allowed him, in some sort of exchange, to collect that money, that this is his debt, it's a loan that's collectible by him alone, by him only. So does he have to bring a raya? So we're bringing a brisa that says, a love lahavi raya, yes, he does have to bring a raya. So says Abaye, that's exactly where I get my idea. My love hu adin lachrini. So just like by brothers we say you need to bring a raya, so shouldn't that be true by anybody else also? That if you have a shtar chov, it's not good enough. You need to say, you have a shtar chov that does not necessarily have your name in it, meaning if your name is Yosef and Shimon, it does have your name in it, but it also has the other Yosef and Shimon's name in it, because you're both named Yosef and Shimon, that you need to bring a raya that was in fact transferred to you appropriately. V'Rava Amar Rav would say, no, case of the brothers is totally different. Shaini achin deshamtu me'adadi. But brothers always take things from each other. That's just the way they operate. People always grab things from their brothers. So we're always concerned, a little more concerned with brothers, that one of them took a shtar that was not in fact rightfully his. But when it comes to situations where there's not a brother, when it comes to situations of two Yosef ben Shimon's, so we don't assume that one Yosef ben Shimon would snatch something from the other Yosef ben Shimon. That's very unusual. Ikad Amri, others have the same exact conversation, reversed. That Amar Rava, Rava's the one that said Mina Aminala. What's my source, Rava says, for saying that you don't have to bring a Raya? Now we're not looking for a source that you do have to bring a Raya, we're looking for a source that you don't have to bring a Raya. Titania, and he quotes the same Braisa. But we already assume in the original bringing of the source, the Diuk, that we made before, that Echad Menachin Shesharcha of Yotzi Mitachas Yado, a love Raya. One of the brothers has a Shesharcha of Yotzi Mitachas Yado, it's on him to bring the Raya. So what do you see? Achin hu deshamtu me'adadi, aval achrini lo. That it's dafka achin, it's dafka one of the brothers who always grab things from each other. But that's why the Braisa gave the example of brothers. Why else would he give an example of brothers? Give an example of anybody. No, gave an example of brothers because brothers are unique in that they very often grab things from each other. But other people who don't normally grab things from each other, there's no reason to be choshish for anything. And therefore, when it comes to regular people, like two Yosef ben Shimon's, it's not necessary to bring a raya. That's Rava's raya, that you don't need to bring a raya. V'Abaye, and Abaye would respond, no, you know why it says Achin? Not because the halacha is only true in the case of Achin, but that it's even true in the case of Achin. You might have thought that by Achin is where that by Achin you don't need to bring a raya, even though everywhere else you do. Kamashmalan, that even by Achin you need to bring a raya. Why would you think by Achin you don't need to bring a raya? After all, they grab things from each other. Isn't that more of a reason to say you do need to bring a raya? So vabai Achin is richalei salka daita chaminu kiven deshamtu mehadadi ema mizdar zehiri velo tzrich lahavi raya. Now, dafka, because they're always grabbing things from each other, that's reason to believe that the brothers are going to be extra careful with each other. And they're going to make sure, they're going to take extra security measures to make sure the other one doesn't take anything from him, because they know that they blink and the other guy is going to snatch something. So since they take extra security measures, so that's why we have the right to assume, more of a right to assume by brothers, that they did not take it from each other. Kamash Mlan, that you still need to bring a riot. It's an interesting svara, that when things are more dangerous, we assume people are going to be more secure. Which is, I think I mentioned recently, I read somewhere recently that there are statistics to back up this idea that a greater percentage of people die by crossing at crosswalks than do by jaywalking. Why? Because when you're crossing at a crosswalk, you don't look, because everything's safe. But when it's more dangerous, you're a little extra cautious, so you're going to be, right? More children died after they came out with the safety seals on top of medication bottles than died before, because they let the little kid play with the medication bottle once it had the safety seal, until he bites through it and eats all the medicine inside, and Rachman al son. But so that's a bayis svara. Generally, we don't pass like a bayi, right? We assume it's good to be cautious, and it's good to that we would prefer to avoid dangerous situations. Obviously, when we have dangerous situations, even when we're not in dangerous situations, we shouldn't be complacent. It's important not to be complacent. That's the message of Abaye, that people are less complacent when they're more concerned about a dangerous situation, but it's important not to be complacent ever. Okay, fine. Ve'ela haditanya, but we have a braisa that says the following. Kishem shemotzin hein shtarchov alacherim, kach motzin ze al ze. So now, up until now, we thought we just had our Mishnah against the Braisa. And the only difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa was whether Yosef ben Shimon could take out a shtar that says somebody else owes him money. But both our Mishnah and the Braisa agreed that Yosef ben Shimon cannot take out a shtar that says that Yosef ben Shimon owes him money, that the other Yosef ben Shimon owes him money. Here we have a Braisa that says, just like they could be motzi shtar chov al acherim, just like Yosef ben Shimon could take out a shtar saying that somebody else owes him money, like the Mishnah, kach motzin ze al ze. So to the two Yosef ben Shimon's could take out shtaros on each other. So that's a new shita. So b'maykamifli, what's that machlokas about? What's the brisa arguing with our Mishnah about, with our Mishnah and the first brisa about? Right? Why would you say that two Yosef ben Shimon's can take out shtaros on each other? So it says Gemara, because of shtar lo vavaf pishein malvi yimokamifli. What they're really arguing about is whether we would write a shtar for the borrower when the lender's not there. Tana didan savar kosin shar lov v'af pishen mal v'imo. So our Mishnah holds that sure, the borrower says, I want you to write a shtar that says that I owe money, right? So why not? Write a mishtar that says he owes money. We don't know that anyone ever lent him money. Well, so what? What's the worst that can come of it? So we'll write a shtar for the lover, even though the malva is not there. But now we're afraid, Zimnin dazel gabe safra, v'sahadi, we're afraid he's going to go to a sofer and to witnesses, v'amaluhu, and he's going to tell them, kisvu li shtara to be in on the maze of Yosef ben Shimon chaverai. He's going to say, write a shtar that I owe money to Yosef ben Shimon. Right, I want to borrow money from Yosef and Shimon. Ubasar de kasvi v'chasmilei, they're going to write it, they're going to sign it, and he's going to say, aha, you see, Yosef and Shimon owes me money, because they're both named Yosef and Shimon. Nekitalei v'armalei, havli me'a diyazavta mina, he's going to say, now pay me back $100 that you owe me. So Tana Brasavar, ain kos v'shar lovachi emal v'imo. The Tana the Brisa has no such concern, because he says we would never write a shtar for one party without the other party present. We wouldn't write a shtar even for a borrower, where it seems that it's a complete chov for him, because of this kind of case. That even though it's a complete chov for him, usually, when there are two Yosef and Shimons, he can use it to be deceitful, and we're not going to encourage such behavior. We're not going to allow that to happen. And that's the machlokes between the Mishnah and the Brisa. Now, the Mishnah had also said, and then we're continuing to quote from the Mishnah, Nimtza la'echad ben shtarosav. One guy finds amongst his shtaros, shtarosh of Yosef ben Shimon parua, shtarosh shneim parua. Right? It says in amongst the shtaros that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is parua, so then we have the right to assume the shtaros, any shtaros that Yosef ben Shimon owes him, are parua, whichever Yosef ben Shimon. So a guy lent money to two Yosef ben Shimons, right? And now he finds a receipt that says that Yosef ben Shimon already paid him back. And he has no recollection of which Yosef ben Shimon already paid him back. So he has to assume both Yosef ben Shimon's already paid him back, because either one that he's going to go to and say, I want you to pay me back, will say, what are you talking about? That receipt was my receipt. I'm the one that already paid you back. So that's what he has to assume. Says the Gemara, Taima denimtza, halo nimtza, Matzimapik. Sounds like it's only because he found the receipt that says someone paid him back. Otherwise, he would be able to collect from Yosef ben Shimon's. But didn't our Mishnah say that no one could ever take out a shtar chov against Yosef ben Shimon when there are two of them? Because either one can always say, forget about any receipts. There was never a receipt. A guy has a shtar chov that says Yosef ben Shimon owes him money. Isn't that automatically ineffective? So says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Mishulashin. No, it's not automatically ineffective, because our Mishnah also said, what do you do when you have two Yosef and Shimons and you want to lend money to one of them? How do you write a shtar for Yosef and Shimon? So the Mishnah had said, Mishulashin, what do you do? Don't just write Yosef ben Shimon, write the grandfather's name also. So it's Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, and the other one is Yosef ben Shimon ben Reuven, so nothing to worry about. So you know exactly which Yosef ben Shimon is referred to in your shtar. So says the Gemara, wait a second, if we were careful to be Mishalesh, if we were careful to go up that extra generation, and to go with Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, Yosef ben Shimon ben Reuven, V'nechzi Tavra b'shma deman deksiv, why don't we look at who the shover is written in the name of, and whether it's Yosef ben Shimon Yaakov, Yosef ben Shimon ben Reuven, you'll know which star is paid up. So what's our Mishnah talking about? That if you have a shover that says that he paid you back, that therefore you can't collect from either one of them if it's Mishulashin. So Rav Foshi had the obvious answer, but Mishulashin b'shtar, ben Mishulashin b'shover. No, the shtaros were Mishulashin. The shover just says Yosef ben Shimon paid you back. You weren't as careful when it came to writing the shover. That you just wrote Yosef ben Shimon. So then you're up a creek. What could you do? You have no raya which Yosef ben Shimon already paid you back and which one did not. Abai Yamar, Hachi Kamar. Abai says, no, this is the case. The case is, what does the Bach change it to over here? Hachi Kamar, Hein al Acherim Motzin, Nimtza Lulova ben Shtarosav, Shtaros Shal Yosef ben Shimon, Alai Parua, Shtaros Shneim Peruin. No, that we're not talking about that the Malve, the lender, found the shtar that said that it's already been paid back, that he's already been paid back. We're talking about the Love, who borrowed money from two people named Yosef ben Shimon. And he finds somewhere in his possession a shovar, and this makes a little more sense in terms of who should be holding on to the shovar, right? Shouldn't it be the person who's already paid back? Shouldn't it be the borrower who has the shovar? A borrower who's already paid back, he should be the one with the shovar. Says Abai, that's the case in the Mishnah. Case is, I borrow money from two people whose names both happen to be Yosef and Shimon. I then find a shovar that I've paid one of them back. So now neither Yosef ben Shimon can come to me and claim that I still owe money, because I have a shofar that says I paid Yosef ben Shimon back. So once I have that, I'm good to go. So shtar shnei peruah, we assume that the shtaros of both of them are peruah. If I'm not mistaken, Rashbam over here points out that yes, the shtaros of both of them are perua, but let's say the two Yosef and Shimons want to get together, and right, if you look at the Rashbam and the very last word on the third wide line, umihu nir be'inai shim shneim ba'im barsha zemizeh. Let's say they give each other power of attorney, and they come and say, okay, you owe one of us money, so we're collecting for one of us. So alalova yichalun ligvos echad min hashtaros mimanashach. Then they can for sure collect for at least one of the shtaros min alova. Sharei moda hu balkarch b'shnei hashtaros elisha para echad mehen. The love is moda that he borrowed from both of them because they each have a shtar, and he only has one receipt, so he only paid one of them. Umihu ita in love of Omer l'shnechem parati. But if the lover claims and he says, I paid both of you, v'ashover nichtav stam al shnechem, and the shover was written on both, nir be'inai detaynim al yisahi. Meaning if the shover says, meaning if the lover says, look, this isn't a shover that says I paid one of you back. This is a shover that says I paid back Yosef and Shimon. We wrote it stam because I paid both of you back at the same time. We figured it would just be easier to write one shover that says I paid Yosef and Shimon back. I paid both of you back. So Zalov and Emun of such tightness, says Rashbam, I think Tainam Al Yosei, I think he is believed. Aval Hecha de Mod de Bebeis Alvaos, El Shapara Achas, Nihinami de Hura Koach Amal Vin Ligvos Kalechad Chovo, Aval Yasu Shtar Beneim, Vigvu Beit Shneim Ben Alov Shtar Echad, Ayideshich Tu Varsha Zelazeh. So again, the point is in our Gemara, if the two Yosef Ben Shimons do not cooperate with each other, nobody's going to get paid. Because the Lova has a shtar that says, has a shofar that says he's paid back Yosef ben Shimon, he could use it against each of them. But if they do cooperate with each other, they can at least have one of the shtaros paid up and maybe split the money or whatever, figure out some sort of deal. As long as they do cooperate with each other and figure out that they have to give power of attorney to each other, that way the Lova will have no way out. Okay, says the Gemara. Ketzad Yasu Yishalshu, right? We said in our Mishnah, what do you do if you have two Yosef and Shimons in the same city? It's very confusing, as someone who has someone else with the same name who travels in very similar circles to me, I could tell you, it's very confusing, sometimes nice, sometimes annoying. So Ketzad Yishalshu, so what do you do? So Ketzad Yasu, what do you do? So the Mishnah said Yishalshu. So you should always... You should always do something to make it evident that it's different, right? With me and the other Aryeh Leibowitz, we spell Leibowitz differently, so that helps. Of course, most people misspell my name anyway, like his name, so it doesn't really help so much. So Tana im hayushneim kohanim yichtavu daros. So the last thing the Mishnah suggested is write if one of them is a kohen, right? Hakohen. So he said, well, what if that's the same also? Meaning, what if they're both kohanim? What if they're both Kohanim? What if they're both not Kohanim? Meaning, isn't that the more likely scenario? So Tos says, yeah, who had in Shnei Yisraelim, El Mishum Tetani Lel, Hayechem Meim Kohen Tani Kohanim. Yeah, in a chinami, it's just that once we're talking in terms of Kohanim, so we say Im Hayishneim Kohanim. But really, it's the same thing, obviously, Im Hayishneim Yisraelim. Right? We have no way of identifying them. They're both Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov HaKohen. So now what? Now what do we do? The short, fat Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov HaKohen. Right, they have the physical features also, which we described in the Mishnah. Those are the same as well. Right, so now what do? So says the Gemara. Then you start going up further generations. Then you start doing Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov ben Reuven ben Levi, whatever. Then you go up till you find an uncommon name in the ancestry. That's what you would continue to do. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ha'omer libeno shtar ben shtarosi parua ven yodea ezahu. A guy says to his son before he dies, amongst my shtaros that say that people owe me money, one of them is paid. I have no idea which one of them. Shtaros kulan peruin. So he can't collect the money from anybody, because anybody that he was going to come and try to collect money from can say, no, mine is the one that's perua. Prove to me that I'm wrong. Because after all, he has no idea which one is really perua, and he believes his father. Nimtza la'echad sham shnayim hagadol perua v'katadeno perua. Let's say, though, I have two shtaros, the left in that stash of shtaros are two shtaros against the same person. So one that says he owes me $1,000, one that says he owes me $10,000. right? Now, father only said that one of these shtaros is perua, and he doesn't know which one. So which one do I assume is perua? So you have to assume the gadol is perua. The $10,000 one is paid, but you can still collect with the $1,000 shtar, because he never said shtaros are perua, he said one of the shtaros are perua. Amar Rava, shtar lecha biyadi perua. If I say the shtar that you have of yours that I have in my hand is paid back, hagadol perua v'akatanena perua. Right? Again, the assumption is if he just says shtar, the one of the larger amounts is what we have to assume is perua. The one of smaller amounts we have to assume is not perua. Chov l'cha biyadi perua, shtaros kulan peruin. But if he doesn't say shtar, he says the chov is already paid back, then we assume all the shtaros are paid back. Because when someone writes me a shtar that he owes me $10,000, and a shtar that he owes me $1,000, and a shtar he owes me $5,000, I view it as one big $16,000 chov. Right? That's chov l'chabiyadi. So then we assume kulan pruin. Armele ravina l'rava, ele me'ata, sada mechurulach, sada gedola mechurulach, sada shiyeshli mechurulach, kol sadosu mechurulach. Would you say the same thing about fields? If a guy says that my field was sold to you, so we assume it's his biggest field? And if he says sada shiyeshli mechurulach, which implies all of my property, or it could be all of my property, or it could just be one field, it could mean anything, kol sadosu mechurulach. So we have to assume that the other guy owns all of his fields? That's a little bit harsh, no? When a person says sada shiyeshli mechurulach, that we're automatically going to make the assumption that the supposed buyer is now muchzak on every single bit of the supposed seller's property. So says Gemara, no, there's a big difference between the two cases. Hasam yad bala shtar ala tachtona. When it comes to a shtar, and I say that my shtaros, that the chov, I use the lashon of chov, that the chov is already paid up. Who the yad bala shtar is always has the lower hand. He's always the one because of hamotzi mechaver ala faraya, right? It's a chov that I'm trying to get you to pay me back. So I can't get you to pay me back if I've already said that the chov is, if I've possibly said, if there's any way to interpret that I've said that you don't owe me money. So yes, I might not mean that. I might mean that that you've only partially paid me back, but we don't know. So since we don't know, motzi mechaver lo v'raya. But when it comes to sadeh mechurulah, who's muchzak in the fields? So it's the supposed mocher who's muchzak in the fields. So we don't assume if he says sadeh mechurulah that all of his fields now belong to the lokeach, because the muchzak is the one that gets to hang on to it until you're able to bring a raya against him. Right? That's why the din would be different with the fields and with the shtaros, because you have a different muchzak in each case. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamalves chaveru al yidei arev. Person lends money to his friend using an arev, using a cosigner. Lo yipara min arev. Sounds like a very strange thing. What's the point of the arev? Right? The Mishnah taken at face value is very difficult. Lo yipara min arev. So Rashbam adds in lo yipara min arev tchila ad shi yitves alov aladin v'yichayvu beizdin. V'im ein lo mal shalim oz yipara min arev. Hachim farshin lo b'gemara b'maskana. Rashbam points out that's going to be the maskanas of HaGemara, but the Gemara is going to read the Mishnah just on the simple level first and say, what? Wow, that's wild. You have an Arev to cosign, and you're not allowed to go to the Arev to actually collect from the Arev, which is very strange. V'im amrlo al menas she'efram mimi she'ertza yiparam an Arev. But if you include in the shtar that I'm gonna borrow money from you and I'm gonna pay you back, and here's a cosigner, and the condition in the shtar is that I can get paid back from you, or I can get paid back from the cosigner, right? Whichever one I want to go to is I'm going to be able to collect from. So then you can collect from the Arev. That's the only way the Arev is ever actually going to be useful to the lender. Now again, if you read the first line of the Mishnah the way the Rashbam told us the Maskana of the Gemara is going to read it, that when you lend money, Ali Dei Arev, you can only collect from the Arev once the guy has nothing left to pay back. So then what are we adding in this line? That you have to say, Al Menashe Ephraim Mimisha Irtza, that's the only time you could be Nifrim in a Arev. What do you mean? I thought you could be Nifrim in a Arev when the first guy doesn't have any money. So we're going to have to add something that Rashbam is quick to add over here, the Gemara Aminan, the Gemara is going to add something into the Mishnah to make it flow a little bit better. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if the Lov has got nechasim, nechasim means real property, means he has real estate, then you can't collect from the Arev. But if the Rav Shimon Gamliel's chiddush is that if the Lov has money, he's got cash, It's obviously a lot easier to collect real estate than to collect cash, because real estate he can't hide. Cash he can hide. So you need to go to Bezin and you need to find that cash. You need to. It's gonna be much more work to collect cash. So let's say he only has cash. Then I'm allowed to go straight to the Arev. Because why should I bother having to go through, jump through hoops in order to be able to collect cash from him? It's much easier to collect land, so I'll go straight to the Arev and collect land from the Arev. That's the Chiddush from Shimon Gamliel. Even though the guy might have cash, you don't have to know whether he has cash or not. You don't have to check whether he has cash or not. You can go straight to the Arev. The Chaynayim from Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ha'arev li'isha b'ksubasa. Let's say a guy is a co-signer for a woman on a ksuba, meaning he co-signs that if the husband doesn't have the money to pay up the ksuba, that he's going to pay it instead. Vayabayla megarsha, and then you have a husband who's divorcing his wife. The halacha is yadirena hana'a shema yasu kunun ya'al nechasim shalzeh v'yachzer zishto. The Baal has to be madir hana'a, that he's not allowed to get any hana'a from the nechasim. Why does he have to get hana'a? He's not allowed to get hana'a from the nechasim, because here's, you're going to have a couple that's short on cash, they're having trouble making their paying their bills. So what are they going to do? Husband's going to say, well, I owe you like $30,000 in the ksuba, and we have a co-signer in it, so why don't I divorce you? I don't have any money. Co-signer will pay the $30,000, we'll give you the $30,000, we'll get remarried, and here we'll have $30,000, we'll be able to pay our bills now, so that will solve all our problems. So in order to make sure that they don't pull such shtick, we have to make sure that the husband first signs a, not signs, first takes a neder, that he's not allowed to get any hana from the nechasim, so that money that the co-signer is paying is going to the woman and is not being brought back into any marriage with the husband, any subsequent marriage with the husband. We're worried about such a kununya. Says Rashbam, Yadirena Abal Hanoa Al Das Rabim Neder She'in Lo Afara. We don't just require a neder, because nedarim are also somewhat slippery. You could take a neder and then be made for the neder, right? You could take a neder and undo a neder. So we don't want that to be allowed to happen. You have to take a neder Al Das Rabim that cannot be undone. The neder has to be foolproof. It has to be something that can never be undone. Shlo Yuchal Achzira, so that the husband can never remarry this woman. Because we're concerned that that's what he had in mind the whole time, that he's going to remarry her and be able to enjoy the money that the Arif paid her. And it's just a big trick to be able to get money out of the Arif. Fine, says the Gemara, my time. Now, this goes back on the first line of the Mishnah, right? The first line of the Mishnah says, if someone co-signs on a document, on a loan, you're not allowed to collect from the co-signer. So says the Gemara, that's a very strange thing. Why can't you collect from the co-signer? Says Rashbam, my time will leave from an Arev. De kasalka daita chashta. Right, he has to tell you, what are we supposed to be thinking of how to read that line of the Mishnah? That lo yipar klal ka'amar masnisin. De lo mahani arvus elu lahachi she'im meis lova obarach oz yiparam in arev. That we're assuming that first line of the Mishnah is saying that as long as you know where the lova is, you can't go to the arev. The only way you're ever allowed to go to the arev is if the lova dies or the lova ran away. But as long as the lova is present and you know where he is, you're not allowed to go to the arev, even if the lover has no money. He has no money to pay you back. No property, no money to pay you back. Still can't go to the Arif, because you at least have the lover. You at least know where he is. That's what we're assuming it means. So, says the Gemara, why should that be the case? So Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dami Tarvayu, Gavra Ishlimasli, Gavra Ashlimilach. So Rabbi Rav Yosef say, what do you mean, why should that be the case? The Arif is co-signing, not that he's going to pay, he's co-signing that he'll be able to give you the lover. And if he can't give you the lover, then he'll pay you back. But he's not co-signing that he's going to pay if the lover can't pay. He's co-signing that he'll give you the lover to chepper the lover, bother the lover as much as you want. And if you can't bother the lover as much as you want, then he'll pay. So Maskev Nachman, hi din at the parsai. So that sounds like a parsai type of din. So says Gemara, why does that sound like a parsai type of din? Do you know anything about Persian law? Adraba, Basra Arvazli. No, Persian law, it's the exact opposite. They only go to the Arev. They don't even go to the Lova in the first place. They go to the Arev even when the Lova is there. So that doesn't sound at all like Persian law. Ella Beidina de Parsai de Loyavi Taimil Milsayu. He said, no, I don't mean that halacha is similar to the laws on the Persian law books. What I mean to say is, you've you've said something that made no sense. I asked for an explanation, and you didn't really give an explanation. You said, yeah, the love is just going to give, the Ariv is just there to give you back the love. But that makes no sense, that the Ariv should be there to just give you back the love. The love doesn't have any money. The love has no value to you, right? So that in that sense, it's like a Persian law, that it in the sense that it makes no sense, that you didn't give any reasonable explanation. No, he says, we misunderstood the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that if there's an Arev, you can't get paid back from the Arev, it means lo yitva Arev tchila. It means that you can't be toveya the Arev first before you first go to the Lova, that you need to go to the Lova first. Tani na mihakim, Brisa says that way. Brisa says, amal v'eskavera al yidei Arev, lo yitva Arev tchila. You can't be toveya the Arev first. V'im amar al menashe Ephraim, yimisha erza, yitava Arev tchila. But if you say, al menas, that I should get paid back from whoever I want, then you could be toveya the Arev first. Fine. Amar Rav Huna, minayin la'arev dimishtabed. Once we're mentioning arev, where does it say in the Torah that there's such a din called arvus? Where do we say in the Torah, not arvus in terms of mitzvahs, that there's such a din of, you know, real arvus, of co-signing? Where do we ever have such a din? Dechsiv, anochi arvenu miyadai tivakshenu. When Yehuda says to Yaakov, I need to take Binyamin, and I'll take full responsibility, right? He says, Anochi arvenu miyadai tivakshenu. I will take responsibility for him. I'll be the arev. Now, if there was no idea of arev, so what's the mashal that he's giving, right? What's he saying? I'm going to be what? So it must be that there is a concept of arev in general, and he's using that concept to explain the level of responsibility he's going to have for Binyamin. So Maskev l'Rav Chista, Hakablanasi, Dechsiv, Tneo Sal Yadiv Ani Ashivenu, says the Gemara, wait a second, there are two types of arvos. There's regular arvos, and then there's what we call kablanus, which is a much stronger, higher level arvos. When you take upon yourself a much higher level of responsibility, we're going to discuss in tomorrow's daf, right, the difference between kablanus and arvos. But frankly, Gemara, Yehuda's level of responsibility is kablanus, it's not arvos. So all we see from that pasuk is that you have such a concept of a level of responsibility equal to kablanus. How do I know you have a level of responsibility equal to arvus? Elam Rabbi Yitzchak Mehachas, from the following. Lakach bigdo, so there's going to be a series of quotes from Pesukim. Lakach bigdo ki arav zar, uba'ad nachriya chavleyu, va'omer, b'ni imarafta l'reacha takata l'zar kapecha nukasha b'imreficha nilkadta b'imreficha, asei zos eifo b'ni v'inatzel kibasa b'kaf reacha leich hisrapes v'rahav reacha. That if you get in trouble based on what you say or based on what you've done or becoming an arev, say, pay him back. And if you get in trouble based on what you say in that you've hurt a person, if you've offended a person, so then make sure you make amends with him. In Mamun Yesh Lo Biyadcho, we're darshaning the pasuk that if you have money in his hand, hater lo pisos yad, then you better open up your hand to pay back. Vim lav, hir b'lav reim. And if it's not a monetary issue, it's that you may have insulted him, so then make sure you bring a lot of extra friends when you come and ask mechila in a public way, and that way he'll forgive you. Amar ha-meimar, arev d'mishtabed machlokas Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi. There is a machlokas regarding the shibud of an arev between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi d'na amar asmach t'kanya arev mishtabed. According to Rabbi Yossi, that says that asmach t'kanya, so an arev is actually mishubud to pay back the loan. Why? Because when a guy co-signs a loan, most of the time we assume he has no plans of actually paying back that loan. He assumes that, why do I co-sign? Not because I want to give up money for nothing. I co-sign because I trust my friend that he's going to be able to pay it back. And I'm just doing him a favor to give a guarantee, but I trust that he's going to be able to do it. I have no plans of actually paying it. So isn't that a smachta? So according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a smachta kanya, an arev is meshubad. The Rabbi Yehuda damar smachta lo kanya, arev lo meshtabed. Amalei Rav Ashi la meymar, so Rav Ashi says la meymar, that sounds logically great. Problem is, hamaisim b'chol yom da smachta lo kanya, v'arev meshtabed. We assume a smachta is not kone, but we assume arvus works. So how does arevus work? No, you are fully giving over a shibud when you co-sign. What are you getting in return? Why would you just be giving away money for nothing? What you're getting in return is the satisfaction of knowing that you're the one who was trusted to sign as an arev. And for that, you're gomer mishabi nafshei.